pray, Lord, that you would strengthen us in this same faith. Help us to share this joy of salvation with others, and we would do so in our actions and especially in our conversations. We thank you, Lord, for this great gift of Christ and Him crucified and resurrected for our forgiveness. Bless us today and always as we share this good news with others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so as is our custom, we have a 15 to 20 minute sprint through an Easter Bible class. So we'll do what we can here in a short amount of time. Kind of let it look at an Easter timeline of events, because there's a lot that takes place in a short amount of time, probably going back even to Palm Sunday. So Palm Sunday, of course, we have Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Sorry, I'm not the best writing technical. So his triumphal entry. And then, do we know anything that happens on Monday of Holy Week? Nothing specific. He is going in and out of Jerusalem Monday and Tuesday. He does cleanse the temple shortly after his entry. And then he leaves and goes to Bethany, comes back on Monday, teaches and performs some miracles in the temple, and then goes back to Bethany, comes back on Tuesday. Nothing is recorded on Wednesday, so that then takes us to Thursday. Of course, that is the institution of the Lord's Supper, the Passover. And then what happens after his celebration or institution of the Lord's Supper? He goes to Gethsemane, the garden, prays, and then is betrayed. Okay, after the betrayal and his arrest, then Peter denies him three times. Through the evening, that leads us into Friday, where he goes to trial, unjustly. Trial, ultimately the crucifixion, and then timing wise, about what time does Jesus die?
3 o'clock.
About the sixth hour, they say. It's just going to depend on which gospel we're reading and who's counting the time, but it all works out to be about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So then, when does he get buried?
Yes.
We don't know. Sometime before sundown. Okay? And this was probably around this time of year, right? In mid to late March, maybe early April. So what time does the sun go down in Israel then?
6.
Probably about the same as here, maybe a little bit later. I think they're probably a little farther south than we are, right? From the equator? I'm not sure, okay? But probably around the same time. So let's say 6:30 would be sundown. So Jesus is buried at some point before then. Okay, we don't know how quickly they moved him off the cross. Of course, we know from John's Gospel, when they come to break the legs of the other those who are crucified, Jesus has already died. So we said that was about 3 o'clock. They want to hurry up the deaths of the others. So is that at 4 o'clock? Is that at 5 o'clock? Closer to 7 o'clock? We don't know. Okay, but at some point then, they get to Jesus. They find he's already dead. They pierce his side through. And then begins the process of removing his body from the cross. They need to get that done before sundown. According to the Jewish way of tracking time, the next day begins as the first light and the first star begins to be seen in the sky. That begins your next day. Okay, so Friday would have begun if they, and I thought about this, darkness covering over the earth from 12 o'clock until 3 o'clock. Did that stop after Jesus died? We hear no record of that. That would certainly impact how they tracked time if that were the case. But assuming that things went back to normal to some extent after his death, then they could track the time with the sun setting and the sky getting dark again. Okay, so Jesus is buried, and we know the women witness Okay, so they're there, Mary Magdalene sitting across from the tomb, as is another Mary or another disciple of Jesus, women. So they know where Jesus is buried. So some will say, oh, they went to the wrong tomb Easter Sunday. That's why they found the empty tomb. We've got the good evidence here from the scriptures that somebody was there, witnessed it, they knew exactly where it was. They wouldn't forget. They had work to do. They wanted to go back Sunday, so they were not going to make that mistake. Okay, so it's a pretty flimsy argument against that. What about Saturday?
Rest in the tomb and descent into hell.
then Sunday would mean his resurrection. So then it gets interesting. What are the events surrounding the resurrection? What happens first? It's a little tricky, right? Because we have different accounts, different facts. What are the facts? What are the things we know from the resurrection? You know that.
Raised from the dead.
Okay. So that we would say occurs first, right? The resurrection, event number one. So when the stone is rolled away, what is not happening there?
Not having mentioned that Christ's spirit fills him on Sunday as being arrested.
Okay.
When we pass away, the Father is prepared for the spirit.
Right. So, yeah, talking about new doesn't mean no longer what we were. It just means it's made new, right? So restored, made or renewed, made perfect. When Christ, when he dies, he leaves, the soul leaves his body. When he rises, the soul goes back to the same body, right? It's not going to be a different body. And in the resurrection, see, this is the thing, right? When Jesus rises from the dead, he lives then 40 days upon the earth and then ascends. Never is there a time when that body is different, right? In the resurrection, it's already different, okay? Because people can see him initially and not understand or believe or realize who he is until he makes it known to them, okay? And yet, once their eyes are open, then they see him, and then it's not like, well, you look different. I didn't understand what's going on. It's still the same Jesus, right? Still the same body. He shows that to Thomas and the other disciples. The marks are still in his hands and in his feet and in his side. Okay, so still the same body, but it's glorified. This is the mystery. We don't understand it, but this is what Paul talks about. We will be raised with a body that is imperishable, and it will be changed. Okay, but how so? Not going to be totally different. That is opposite or not ourselves anymore. But it will be so new and so perfect that it'll far surpass what we know now. Yeah, Mike?
So that will be different than Jesus' resurrection. Probably, at least it hints at that.
Well, how are you thinking?
We see the wounds on Jesus.
Okay.
At least that, for my Sunday school days, we'll be resurrected the way God intended us to be.
Yeah, we don't know. We don't know that.
A perfect form, right. Whatever.
Now, Jesus with the wounds in his body, is that temporary? Does he still have them in his body now? That's usually the belief, right? And he still retains those marks of the cross. And we know that when John sees the revelation, the Lamb returns to the throne, and he's the Lamb who was slain, right? And he knows that, and they know that, and they see that, right? So those marks are still there. That doesn't mean necessarily that our bodies will have the marks of wounds or scars or things like that that we suffer here. They may, but we don't know. But they will be so perfected, okay, that we'll never have those types of sufferings or pain again. Okay, so it's a glorified body, and spiritual body, so that's where it gets even more puzzling. Well, but we're spiritual with the soul, the spirit, but what about the flesh? You can't not be flesh, but still be material, because God doesn't undo things, right? God does not destroy, okay? He only creates. Yeah?
So, but Jesus was resurrected, still a fallen world. Our resurrection will be a new, recreated earth.
Right?
That'll be perfect, too.
Yeah, so he's the first fruits of that. So his resurrection occurs still in the broken world. Okay, and when Christ returns, he'll raise us from the dead. And at the same time, everything's going to be changed. Right? So at that point, then, yeah, Christ's body will inhabit the new world. Or, but it's going to be that it's kind of like the world, right? What happens with the flood, the world isn't obliterated. It's still here. It's just transformed. Right? So that's going to happen through fire, but the earth itself will remain. It's just, it'll be made new. So same with the resurrection, right? Yeah.
Jesus' body at the end was still in good. could shake, our bodies would either be rotten or destroyed or hurt, and so our past would be dust.
Right.
So you know it's got to be something better than that.
Right, right. Yeah, indeed, indeed. So when we die, our bodies waste away, become nothing. And when we're raised, of course, it's going to be reversed back to perfection, right? That will take us even farther back, right, to where Adam and Eve were created for perfection. And of course, Jesus' body already is perfect. And he's Psalms say he will not bow down as his holy one see corruption. Right? So Jesus' body never corroded or decomposed like ours will. Okay? But certainly then he's restored to perfect life, body is resurrected, and now that's the promise for us too. Jesus ascends, he doesn't leave his body behind, he reigns from heaven both as God and as man, still in his full, complete human nature. Okay? So we will then be with him in his kingdom, but that will be the new heavens and the new earth, because we are physical creatures, right? And we need a physical space, and that's what always what the scriptures teach. Very good? Yeah.
We don't have any pictures of Jesus except in the Shadrach Current, which I just had a picture of. We
got pictures of him all over the place.
Yeah, so we do. I guess if that's true, we have an idea of what he looks like. It was a human too. And as he rose or whatever, supposedly that came on the baseball.
Okay. Yeah, if that's it, they keep saying, you know, as more and more evidence shows up, that is the trial that covered Jesus. Again, probably never going to be 100%. Okay. But it's possible. Okay. What does Jesus look like? Looks like you. Looks like you. Looks like you. Looks like you. Looks like all of us. Right? We're made in his image. Okay. God's image. And the Son, of course, takes on human flesh, not just at the incarnation, but pre-incarnations as well. And that's always as that is who we are. God looks like us. Jesus looks like us, of course, as a human being. Okay, so a lot takes place on that Sunday with the resurrection. Jesus rises from the dead. The stone's rolled away. It doesn't let Jesus out of the tomb, but it reveals the emptiness of the tomb. Okay, and the angels there then are to proclaim that. Mary Magdalene and the other Marys arrive first, according to the Gospels. John then focuses in on Mary Magdalene. Okay, but Mary Magdalene in John's Gospel does tell Peter and John that something about the plural, right? We do not know where they have taken him. So that would indicate that Mary Magdalene was not alone, and the other Gospels corroborate that. Okay? So then you got reports from different Gospels. Was there one angel or was there two angels? Okay? Well, there it said there were two angels in one Gospel. There must have been two angels. And maybe only one is talked about the other time. Okay, or maybe there were a couple different occasions where the angels were present there. Okay, because we have the different gospel accounts saying somewhat different things. Doesn't mean they contradict. It just kind of leaves us in a position now how do we rightly explain this. But Mary Magdalene and the other women arrive first. They leave the tomb afraid. That's what Mark tells us right away after seeing the angel. Then they have Mary Magdalene running to tell the disciples. Peter and John then race to the tomb. They see, and then they depart. Then Mary then sees an angel at that point. Okay, so that would seem like it was another time after the original first visit to the tomb, what we get from Mark's text. Okay, now we have Mary turning around. Nobody else seems to be around, and then Jesus is there. And Mary gets to go and tell that to the other disciples. Okay, so lots of different things going on here, all right there in the morning. Other events that happen on the first Easter Sunday. Jesus, on his way to Emmaus, comes across the two Emmaus-bound disciples. This is in Luke 24. And then, of course, he returns to Jerusalem and appears to the disciples for the first time. And John, or Thomas, of course, is not present on that night, the night of the resurrection, but he will be with them the next week, the next Sunday, as they're back again in the upper room. A lot of new things going on the first Sunday. Of course, we focus in on the resurrection. And then Jesus gets busy revealing himself to many different people to prove that the resurrection has occurred. And so these are eyewitnesses. And again, as we talked about a little bit, the fact that the women and the disciples are not shown in a very good light, it lends some pretty good integrity to the story. And they don't embellish it to make themselves look good. This is the account of what actually has happened. And maybe there was some embellishment, and what we truly would have had would have been even worse than what we did get, and that was already pretty bad. But I think what we've got is pretty accurate, and we don't have to even go farther back than that. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Amen.
Peace.